According to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 121 people kill themselves every day in the U.S. Firearms account for almost 50% of those deaths, and this is a big concern in Vermont. Vermont Public Radio recently completed an analysis of the 420 gun deaths that took place in that state over a six-year period. Their reporting shows that nearly 90% of deaths by firearm in Vermont are suicides. VPR's Liam Elder Connors looks at how state public health officials are trying to prevent them.
Between January 2011 and December 2016, 89% of gun deaths in Vermont were suicides. That doesn't surprise Thomas Delaney.
No, not at all.
Delaney's an assistant professor at the University of Vermont's Larner College of Medicine. He studies suicide prevention.
We know that Vermont has historically pretty low homicide rates, but suicide rates have tended to be much higher than national averages.
When you look at data like this, you know, what are you thinking about?
Well, I tend to think about prevention. So what should we be doing that we aren't doing?
A big part of suicide prevention is to keep a person who's in a crisis safe during that time, connecting them to mental health services and removing lethal means like guns from their environment. Delaney says the idea that a person will just find another way to kill themselves is not true.
So most of the people, and we know this from a few studies now, most of the people who survive even really serious attempts at taking their lives actually don't go on to die by suicide.
And because the suicidal crisis is often brief, Delaney says it's important to get that person away from guns fast.
Firearms not really reversible. Once you make that decision, there's no opportunity to then go back, call 911 or call your counselor or whatever.
And all the time we're saying, this isn't about gun rights, this is about safety.
Charlotte McCorkle's with Howard Center, a nonprofit community mental health organization based in Burlington, Vermont. And full disclosure, the center is an underwriter for Vermont Public Radio. McCorkle talks about promoting safe access to guns, not reducing access, because access to guns can often become a political issue. But safety is something that people can agree on, regardless of politics.
We don't want to offend the gun-owning community. We want to join with them, because certainly no one wants a suicide death by firearm or by any means.
Promoting safe access to guns can take different forms. It might mean that someone gives their gun to a friend or family member if they're going through a tough time, or it could mean ensuring a gun is unloaded and locked away. McCorkle says Howard Center clinicians carry gun locks to give away, and the center also has free lock boxes for storing guns, and those go fast.
I believe over the past 4 years, we've given away more than 300.
But McCorkle says what's really important is that everyone, doctors, mental health workers, state officials, and gun owners, work together to talk about suicide prevention and gun safety. And one such program is called the Gun Shop Project, and it's a collaboration between the state, suicide prevention groups, and the Vermont Federation of Sportsmen Clubs and the Gun Owners of Vermont. Both of those groups are Second Amendment advocacy groups. And the project aims to raise awareness about suicide prevention by distributing fact sheets to gun shop owners and posters that they can hang up in their shops. The Big Dog in Cregan's gun shop is almost too big for the compact store in downtown Rutland, Vermont. Two glass cases of handguns make up the counter and rifles line the wall. John Cregan, the owner, says that his shop serves mostly hunters, which makes sense given some of the taxidermy on the wall.
I see a 1, 2, 3, 4 deer and 5, 6, okay, six deer, 2 bears and a buffalo head. Are all those...
Cregan says preventing suicide is tricky. He's not a trained professional, but he says he can choose who to sell guns to.
I had a lady come in one time and said, I need a gun. I said, what do you want? She said, just something that'll do the job. And I don't know if she was going to go shoot someone or if she was going to commit suicide. I don't know, but she didn't leave here with a gun. You know, I have to sleep at night. I live in this community. I raised my son in this community.
And suicide isn't an abstract issue for Cregan.
So I've had two very good friends of mine do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they use guns?
Both of them. And that's, you know, that makes it harder for me because we're around them all the time. But that was their choice, and, you know, it is what it is.
Cregan says he got some information about the gun shop project from the state, though he didn't have any of the posters up.
How did you find that material useful?
There were some suggestions in there, which we basically follow anyways. Again, if somebody's in here and they're just doom and gloom, you know, and if nothing else, we can stall them for a little while. Give them a day or two and see. But I would just soon not sell the gun, if there's any doubt at all.
Having these conversations about suicide is difficult. But McCorkle at Howard Center says it's important to find ways to bring these conversations about suicide prevention and gun safety into the open, and for people to hear that message, and not only from public health officials.
It's important to have role models giving the message who are part of the NRA or who are gun shop owners or in law enforcement who can say, I'm part of this community and this is my practice and this is why it's important.
McCorkle says hopefully these discussions will help someone see alternatives where they might not have seen any before. For Here and Now, I'm Liam Elder Connors.